Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And we'll start at the 10th verse. And it reads, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power, put on the whole armor of God, so that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that ye may be able to withstand on that evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm, stand therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all fiery arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And finally, pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints." The subject for this preachment moment is enabling armor. You may take your seats. Enabling armor. To my brothers in the ministry and to you, my New Hope Church family, the word enabling is defined as to render competent for an assignment, to empower for service or duty, to endow, to allow a way out or an excuse for an action. The definition of the word armor is a tough protective covering, such as the bony scales covering certain animals or the metallic plates on tanks or warships. What I want to talk to you about today is the whole armor of God. Now, there are times in our lives when we find ourselves feeling unprotected and vulnerable to this world. When this occurs, we must remember that God has a spiritual set of armor that protects us from the fiery and demonic attacks of this world of spiritual wickedness. In the preparation for this preachment, there are three areas that stood out in the text. Verse 12 says, "For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and of flesh, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness. This war is against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." The first thing I want to talk to you about today is illuminating the enemy. Illuminating the enemy. Secondly, verses 14 through 17 says, "Therefore stand fastened with the belt of truth around your waist. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on what will ever make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take on the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the flaming arrows of the evil one. And then take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The second thing I want to talk to you about is investigating the armor. Finally, verse 18 says, "Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in the supplication for the saints. The third thing I want to talk to you about is the power of prayer. Illuminating the enemies, investigating the armor, and the power of prayer. Now, this text can be found in the book of Ephesians. Now, the book of Ephesians is believed to have been written by Paul around 60 to 61 AD, excuse me, CE, the common era. But no one really knows when this book was written or who actually wrote it. The historical significance in the writing is the unification of the Christian church, the Christian family. Now, let's revisit verse 12. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh. That's the illusion that Satan would have you believe. But against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces, against evil in heavenly places. Now, in this passage, the word cosmic stood out to me, or cosmos with a K in the Greek translation, the ungodly multitude, the whole mass of men who are alienated from God, and therefore they are hostile to the cause of Christ. You must understand that anyone who contains a dark spirit is first the enemy of God, and then the enemy of man. This enemy must be identified and illuminated. In war, now listen closely, any general or commander worth his salt has four main tasks. Number one, prepare his soldiers for war. Number two, identify the enemy. Number three, locate the enemy. And fourth and finally, destroy and annihilate enemy forces. But now listen, in order to possess a measurable tactical advantage over any enemy, modern war leaders employ the usage of what is called night vision devices, or NVDs. Now, this optical instrument allows images to be produced in levels approaching darkness, total darkness in some cases, to locate their enemy. Remember now, this is about illuminating the enemy. But the question is, what enemy? The first night vision devices were developed in 1935 by the German electric company AEG. The first night vision devices were introduced by the German army in 1939. The first generation unit, called Generation Zero, was created by the U.S. Army for use in World War II and the Korean War. Now, Generation Three devices are now being used in Iraq, where our soldiers are currently serving. But now, even with this innovation, an advancement in optical technology, it still won't illuminate spiritual wickedness and our spiritual enemies. Saints, you need to know here that this is not a war over geographical territory or a battle for economic expediency. This universal confrontation is between those who are righteous and those who are unrighteous. This is between those who are holy and those who are unholy. This war is between those who are drenched in darkness and those who walk in the light. Now, the Persians believed in the God of light, which was called Aramazda. And they believed in the God of darkness called Angra-Manu. Angra-Manu was described as the eternal destroyer of good. And he was described as the personification and creator of evil. What is it now about our seniors, our elders in our lives, who can sense someone's spirit and draw the conclusion that that person is up to no earthly good? You see, during my teen years, my grandmother was a master at this, Sister Brother Goree's wife. She was a master at this discernment of the spirit. The reason was that she was on the battlefield for the Lord. So she had this in her. Now imagine her one day standing over the kitchen sink, washing dishes as she smothered pork chops and had her black-eyed peas going and her sweet potatoes. Now, I didn't say candied yams, I said sweet potatoes. One day I walked in the house with my at-the-time high school partners, and they went straight to my room, but they spoke as they passed through. What I'm saying is you don't go into Sister Goree's house and don't speak. Now, my grandmother, still at the sink, never turned around. She would say something to the effect, "That one in there is no good." Or in the southern Arkansas vernacular, "That one in there is no good," referring to one of my friends. Understand now, Lady Eleanor had her own infrared technology. She had her own illuminating night vision technology. She discerned the spirit in him and the way in which that foul spirit in him moved his feet across her flow. She discerned the spirit in him and the unholy tone in his voice, or even the words that he used. What she was really doing was shining the light on the adversary. What she was really doing was illuminating the enemy, proclaiming with all confidence the state of the spirit of the enemy. You need to know, this walk with Christ requires the believer, yes, to identify spiritual wickedness in this universe and bringing light in this dark and dilapidated world. Now, you remember Teddy Pendergrass? He said, "Turn off the light." Now, that was for something else now. But I encourage you today to turn on the light and let your light shine so that you may identify the authoritarian enemy. Now, it is crystal clear that as believers, we must illuminate the enemy. We will now discover how, as believers, we must investigate the armor needed to contend with this enemy. Investigating the armor. Now, if you look closely at the text, you will discover that there are six components to this armor. As we investigate this armor, we find that the first component is the belt of truth. Then there is the breastplate of righteousness, shoes for the proclamation of the peace, gospel of peace, and the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. The belt, the breastplate, the shoes, the shield, the helmet, and the sword. Each component of God's enabling armor plays an important role in the symphony of our spiritual life as we war against spiritual wickedness. The first component, The belt of truth, enables you in the Spirit of God to distinguish someone or something with difficulty by sight, but with strength of other spiritual senses. In the Greek, prosunamai, which means with truth, as girded to equip oneself with the knowledge of truth. This helps you to discern the truth about a matter and will help you avoid the pitfalls of illusions and deceptions. What is a delusion? An illusion? Well, an illusion is your child leaves on Monday morning to go to school. At least that's what you think. Have a good day at school, son. I'll see you later on today. The day is almost ended. He comes home. You ask him, how was school today? School was great, Dad. So 1 week passes, and the attendance office at the school calls and says, Reverend Carter, we missed your son at school last week. Were you on vacation or was he sick? Now listen to me closely, saints. You only need to create an illusion one time. Everything after that is deception. I think I heard my grandmother say, you tell one lie. You cannot and you will not have a relationship with God without dealing with truth. Truth is what you see. The moment you wake up in the morning and look in the mirror. Now, what if we wake up in the morning and go out the same way we woke up? No shower. I said no shower. No attention to your breath or... No attention to your hair. What happens is that the world will see the truth as to who you really are. Truth is, listen now, truth is the opposite of that is false. It is the opposite of the spirit of deception. Again, you will not have a relationship through Christ Jesus with God unless you deal with truth. Now, a lot of people have a problem with truth. But irregardless to your opinion or how you feel or your viewpoint, you need to know that the only way you can walk with God is dealing with truth. Yes, we often tell folk all the time, you're not dealing with reality or you're not dealing with truth. But the only way you're going to have a relationship with God is to deal with truth. The belt, the breastplate, the shoes, the shield, the helmet, and the sword. The next component to God's enabling armor is the breastplate of righteousness. In the Greek translation, diakosune, for the breastplate and righteousness together, God, the doctrine concerning the way in which man may attain a state approved of God with integrity. That means there's virtue. That means that there's purity of life, righteousness, correctness of thinking and feeling. The act in a narrower sense, justice and virtue, which gives everyone you deal with their just due. In other words, you must be right while wearing the enabling armor. We know the breastplate as a physical piece of armor in battle, widely known as the portion that covers the human torso. But you must understand the breastplate of righteousness serves a spiritual purpose in that it enables you to reflect the incoming deviant attacks from a world unrighteous, unholy, and filled with unholy dealers and dealers. The breastplate of righteousness makes it possible for one to move through life with confidence and greater assurance. Everyone in this sanctuary at some point has told someone, you're wrong. You ain't right. You're wrong, or that was wrong what you did. But how many times have you looked at yourself in the mirror and said the same thing? We need to understand that this enabling armor is provided in progressions of steps. In other words, you don't get to the breastplate until you have dealt with truth. The belt, the breastplate, the shoes, the shield, the helmet, and the sword. As a soldier in the army of the Lord, it's important that your shoes aren't shining at inspection time. The shoes you wear or for the proclamation of the gospel of peace. The decree by Jesus Christ in the Great Commission was that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. To do this, you're going to need to have on the right shoes. You will not get the breastplate of righteousness, the aforementioned shoes, until you have dealt with truth. The belt, the breastplate, the shoes, the shield, the helmet, and the sword. Now in order, to be effective, you will in no doubt need to bear the shield of faith. You need to know that God is Yahweh Israel, the Lord our shield. It is our faith in God, regardless to what's going on around you, that gets us through. When we carry the shield of faith, our spirit, we are now not resting on the logical proof or material evidence, but instead it enables us to trust in the truth and the trustworthiness of our God. You will not get to place your arms through the straps behind that shield and hoist it up until you've dealt with truth, donned the breastplate of righteousness, and have put on the right shoes of enablement. The belt, the breastplate, the shoes, the shield, the helmet, and the sword. Now, as we continue to investigate the whole arm of God, we discover the helmet of salvation and its purpose. You see, the helmet of salvation covers our minds, our intellect, our reasoning. Salvation, perkephailia, in the Greek, means the protection of the soul, which consists in the hope of salvation. God saves us from death because he provides divine law, illumination, and judgment. In the investigation of this armor, you'll discover that in this whole armor, the helmet protects you from even what the devil will throw in your direction. The belt, the breastplate, the shoes, the shield, the helmet, and the sword. Now, as we continue to investigate this armor, we move to the sword of the Spirit. This is the component that is incredibly powerful and effective. It enables us to drive away the enemy and tear down his unholy work. You must not be reluctant to speak directly to Satan and to his legions of demons. Now, in order to attack our spiritual enemies, God's words means we must speak God's word against them. We must speak it with all authority. But you will not get to bear the sword of the Spirit until you've dealt with truth, until you've donned the breastplate of righteousness, until you put on the right shoes, until you have the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation nestled tightly on your head. Then you will get the sword of the Spirit. Now it is crystal clear that as believers we must identify and illuminate the enemy. We must, as believers, investigate the purpose and use of God's armor. Now we will examine the power of prayer. The text says, pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. You see, saints, the power behind prayer is with the inclusion of your sisters and your brothers. Anyone can voice words and fill a room with colorful language. But you need to know here that true and honest prayer comes from the heart. The text says, pray in the spirit. The power in prayer is recognizing who you are praying to. The power in prayer is recognizing who God is. The power in prayer is recognizing that He is our Heavenly Father. His name is above all names. Now there are folks on a daily basis who create the self-illusion that they are praying or have prayed to God. They complain, going down on their knees. And the moment they get up, they go right back to complaining. Well, let me illuminate this for them. They have neither fervently or earnestly prayed. This is why we end our prayers in Jesus' name. Not our name or your name, but prayer is not about your mess or your drama. It's about the repentance of your mess and your drama. That's why we end our prayers in Jesus' name. Prayer is not about your narcissistic disposition or your inordinate fascination with yourself. Prayer is made possible because there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. Jesus had to shed His blood to reopen the line of communication from man to God. The power of prayer is thanking God for who He is. The power of prayer is recognizing who God is to us. The power of prayer is recognizing how God is to us. The power of prayer is when we come into the consciousness of Him and His divine existence. Someone once asked, way back there in another dispensation, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visit with him. Prayer is not a self-serving exercise. It is a gift of communication with God, given to man by God. In the conclusion of this, we must illuminate the enemy. We must identify the enemy and his current spirit. Investigate the whole armor of God. We must thoroughly review the armor that God provides. And finally, in order to reap the benefits, the power of prayer, we must be sincere in the gift that God provided. Now, as I bring this preachment to a close, remember, while you're on the battlefield for the Lord, while you're on this battlefield, you must remember who made it possible for us to live. You must remember who God is. You see, He is Meke, the Lord of war. God is Moscow, the Lord of our defense. Understand that God is our high tower. He is the horn of our salvation. He is in the midst of this wicked world. Shalom, the Lord of peace. God is in your time of need. Jireh, when you need a rock in your weary land. He's Selah, God, when you're homeless. Is Rehoboth, He'll make room for you. When you need everlasting God, He's Elohim. When you need a more powerful and mighty God, He's Elohim. When you need to be sanctified, He's Makkadishim. When you need, to be healed, He is Rapha. Yeah, some of you may know Him as the Rose of Sharon. Some may know Him as the Lily of the Valley. Others may know Him as the Bright and Morning Star. Now I'm reminded of a song that I would hear the aged and sage sing. I once was an lonely idol. I was a sinner too. But I heard the voice from heaven say that there is work to do. I took my master's hand and I joined the Christian band. I left my friends and kindred bound for the promised land. The grace of God upon me, Bible in my hands, in distant hands I trod, crying, sinner, come to God. Now when I met my Savior, he met me with a smile. Around the throne of grace, he appoints my soul a place. You need to know today that I am on the battlefield for the Lord. I am on the battlefield for the Lord. Are you on the battlefield? Are you on the battlefield for the Lord? Will you serve him till you die? The belt, the breastplate, the shoes, the shield, the helmet, and the sword.